Welcome back to Through the Word. Today in Exodus 37, we continue along with Aholiab and Bezalel as they use their spiritual gift of furniture construction.
Now, I know that might sound funny to you. Furniture construction is not typically called out by name on your average spiritual gift list. But remember a few chapters back when God told Moses that these two men would be filled with the power of the Spirit in order to construct everything needed for the worship of the Lord. And today, that includes furniture. Well, no sofa and loveseat, but table and lamp. So let's jump back into the construction of the tabernacle.
Remember that the inside of the tabernacle is split into two portions, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. Priests who enter the tabernacle will enter through the curtain into the Holy Place, where there are three pieces of furniture, the table of bread, the lampstand, and the altar of incense. Beyond that is another curtain, and inside that, the Holy of Holies, where sits the Ark of the Covenant.
As we go through this chapter, a lot of it will sound familiar. We already read the directions given to Moses for the furniture. This time around, the description of each piece is pretty much identical. The difference comes in the first two words of almost every paragraph. Bezalel made the ark. He made the atonement cover. They made the table. They made the lampstand. This is the exciting part. The blueprints were good, but the real thing is the real thing. So as you read it through this time, read it differently. For God's people, these chapters are not about repetition. They're about moving God's plan into reality. And what about us? Think about this. Hebrews 8 tells us that the tabernacle we read about here is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. That means that even the real thing on earth is actually just a physical blueprint of the real reality in heaven. And as Moses gets to enjoy seeing the tabernacle go from instruction to construction, I think there's a foreshadowing here for us of that day when our faith will be sight. So let's read.
Verse 1. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold, both inside and out, and made a gold molding around it.
Verse 3. He cast 4 gold rings for it and fastened them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then he made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, and he inserted the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it.
The Ark of the Covenant is a small box, about 4 foot by 2 foot and 2 feet tall. It is made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. As we talked about yesterday, the acacia wood is a symbol of the humanity of Jesus, as he took on human flesh with its weaknesses. But he is also God, as symbolized by the gold overlay.
The ark has a gold ring on each corner, 4 of them, and the 2 poles, also of gold-plated acacia wood, are placed through the rings, and the priests will use the poles to carry the ark. Everything in the tabernacle, even the tent itself, is to be portable. And not just when the people are traveling, but even when Israel will be in the land through the time of the judges. Long after they enter the promised land, the tabernacle will continue to serve as a reminder that they are pilgrims and sojourners passing through this world. Not until the time of Solomon in 1 Kings, around the 900s BC, will Israel have a temple that cannot be moved.
Let's move on to the coolest lid ever made for a box, the atonement cover, also known as the mercy seat. Verse 6, he made the atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. Then he made 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. He made 1 cherub on one end and the 2nd cherub on the other. At the 2 ends, he made them of 1 piece with the cover. The cherubim had their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim faced each other, looking towards the cover.
The ark is a box, and the atonement cover is the lid, with 2 cherubim made of pure gold on top. Cherubim are angels, and they face each other with their wings spread out toward each other. Interesting. Carved images of God are banned by the Ten Commandments. But carving an angel is fine. Just don't worship the carving. That's why the cherubim's wings spread upward in a posture of worship to the one enthroned there.
Notice that the cherubim are looking down into the ark. Remember that the covenant law will be placed there inside as a testimony. Plus, there is the manna which God provides and Aaron's staff that blossom. All testimonies of why the covenant should be obeyed. So the cherubim, or the angels of death, are ready to pounce in judgment, yet are stayed by the constant sprinkling of blood that covers the lid of the ark. It is an ongoing testimony that they, the people, as covenant breakers, need constant mercy through the atonement of someone or something else who will pay with their blood.
Some translations call this lid the mercy seat, but the word behind it means more than just mercy, which we usually associate with kindness and forgiveness. The word in Hebrew here is a contraction of the word for a covering and the word for atonement. Atonement is a covering for sin, a price paid for the wrong done in order to cover it and make it right, to reconcile the sinner with the one sinned against. Now that's important here because back in chapter 25, God told Moses that he would meet the people here above the ark at the atonement cover. This is what the whole thing is all about. The tabernacle, a place for God to dwell. At the heart of it, the atonement cover, the place where God meets us. Not inside the ark where the law is kept, but above it at the place of atonement. And every year on the Day of Atonement, the blood of the sin offering will be sprinkled on the atonement cover. Because even under the old covenant, God chooses to meet his people at the place of mercy, not at the law alone. The Israelites will never be able to keep the law perfectly. They will need the mercy of God and the atonement from God to live.
Even for Christians today, it's easy to try to meet God at the law. We measure our holiness by the length of our devotions, how many times we pray, how much we give. But we must remember that we meet with God by his unearned, undeserved favor and mercy. We can all agree that we are saved by his grace and mercy, but we must remember that it is the same grace and mercy that sanctifies, that washes us, that keeps us in relationship with him.
Let's move forward to the other furniture in the tabernacle. Verse 10, they made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Then they overlaid it with pure gold and made a gold molding around it. So this table is pretty small, 3 feet by 1.5 feet and a little over 2 feet tall. On this small table will be placed the bread of the presence, 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And there are also bowls and pitchers for pouring out drink offerings, which are offerings of the fruit of the vine.
A table specifically for bread and wine. In the presence of God, there is fellowship, there is communion. And this table so clearly pictures Christ's sacrifice. In John 6, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And just before his sacrifice, Jesus takes bread and wine, both present in the temple and present at the Passover table, and says that they are his body and blood.
This is a beautiful picture. Any Jew would recognize, and really most cultures throughout history know, that setting a table with bread and wine means time for fellowship. Humans connect with each other over food, and God invites his people to connect with him, to be in fellowship. And then, across the room from the table, is the golden lampstand. Verse 17, they made the lampstand of pure gold. They hammered out its base and shaft and made its flower-like cups, buds and blossoms of one piece with them. 6 branches extended from the sides of the lampstand, 3 on one side and 3 on the other. 3 cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms were on one branch, 3 on the next branch, and the same for all six branches extending from the lampstand.
This lampstand holds seven oil lamps extending upwards to be filled twice daily by the priest with new olive oil. It is shaped like a tree with branches, buds, and flowers. In a way, this lampstand harkens back to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden.
As you enter the densely covered tent, the lampstand is the only source of illumination in the tabernacle. Without its light, the tent will be filled with darkness. In this way, the lamp also points to Jesus, who proclaimed in John 8, while standing in the temple courtyard, that he is the light of the world. Without him, there would be nothing but darkness. Interesting, the lamp has one central light with six branches. In the Bible, six is the number of mankind, while seven is the number of completion. So some teachers see here the six representing God's people. You are the light of the world. And the central one representing Jesus. And the olive oil represents the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be his light.
Verse 25. They made the altar of incense out of acacia wood. It was a square, a cubit long and a cubit wide, and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. They overlaid the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold and made a gold molding around it.
So the final piece of furniture in the tabernacle is the altar of incense. Twice a day, Aaron and his sons are to offer incense before the Lord. Throughout the Bible, burning incense is associated with prayers. Centuries later, in the gospel story, Zechariah will burn incense on this very altar when the angel announces that John the Baptist will be born as an answer to Zechariah's prayers. In Revelation, bowls of incense offered to the Lord are twice called the prayers of the saints. And notice that it is called an altar. An altar is a place for sacrifice. That kind of changes the way we see prayers. For us, there is a sacrifice offered up with every prayer. For the Lord, there is a sweet aroma that fills the room as we pray. And here again, we see Jesus. Jesus prays for us. Hebrews 7 tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for us.
You know, that's amazing. Jesus, just by standing in the presence of his Father, is both sacrifice and high priest. And because of that, Paul says, "Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Nobody. He, Christ, intercedes. There is no argument that can be made against us because Christ stands for us in the Holy of Holies for our sin." And that, my friends, is worship fuel. Well, that's it for today. Go read Exodus 37 and join us tomorrow as we see the furniture for the tabernacle built on through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.